Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for this day is from John chapter 2. Here again the part that reads, "His disciples remembered what was written, 'Zeal for your house will consume me.' So the Jews said to him, 'What sign do you show us for doing these things?' And Jesus answered them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' The Jews said, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?' This is a part of our text. The temple at the time of Jesus was just a magnificent structure. From the text, we learn that the refurbishing had already taken 46 years. It would not be completed until 64 AD, over 30 years after Jesus' death. 70 years, over 70 years of building. What an investment, what dedication. Not so. For we read, in the temple, Jesus found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons. Money changers were sitting there. God's temple was being filled with, not with people in worship, but the everyday business of life. And it was being put right into God's face. Now, buying and selling is not an evil thing. Trade is a part of our lives. Honest trade is a way of how we care for one another and provide for our families. However, the problem is the location and what's going on in the heart. This is moving into the area, into the temple, into the very heart of worship. There would be those who would come to defend of what was going on. Because, you know, people had to travel a long way with their animals so that they could be sacrificed at the temple in Jerusalem. Wouldn't the temple be a more convenient place? Second is the spirit of being persecuted, or the Judeans being persecuted, being dominated by the Romans. They wanted their own space. Here is a place that could be left alone. Thinking, besides, what do the Gentiles want to do with this space anyway? It's unused for us. Let's put it to use. And so they fill the Gentile area of prayer with business, and their heart for mission became or was being lost. For the temple was to be a place of worship for all people. Now, as I wrestled with this text, I asked myself what was going on. And I paused and I looked up, and there before me were all my commentaries. And I looked out the window and it was all surrounded by books. And I know people have walked into my office and said, "Pastor, you've got a lot of books." Yeah, it's taken over 35 years to collect them all. I wonder if they were destroyed, how long it would take for me to replace them. When the Jews confronted Jesus, he responds, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Well, the Jews said, "It's taken us 46 years, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days?" God's place of worship. So much invested, but what was it being filled with? We are all about growing and filling. We spend our lives doing it. You know, it starts with the toys, doesn't it? And the stuffed animals, and then the Legos, the dolls, the makeup kits, the sports equipment, and the list goes on. And we go from one car garage to two car garage to three car garage, and then we have to have a storage area. And it gets larger and larger. We build, we grow, we fill. And then it came to me, what do we fill our temples with? The temples of our own hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple? And that includes our hearts and our minds." We spend maybe 18, 22 years to get all the way up to high school and maybe even through college. for working life that will maybe last, what, 40, 46, 50 years? And then what? 6 years after that magnificent temple was completed, it was completely destroyed. Gone. In 70 AD. A lesson to be learned, reminding us that we should be careful on how we fill our lives in the 60, 70, 80 years. We all end up the same way, don't we? Reminding us that what we need is eternal. Where it comes to a point, we will lose everything. So what is in our temple? Again, we examine ourselves by the first commandment, as we heard in the lesson that was read from Exodus. You shall have no other gods before me. What is the business of life happening? Or what is it encroaching in your life, in your temple, in your heart? The English before me is pretty weak. In the Hebrew, it is in my face. What are we pushing in God's face? Our Lord will have nothing come between him and us, for he is our creator and our redeemer. We will even hear at the end of the service, in the benediction, may his face shine on us. And when his face shines on us, we are blessed. And he wants to bless us. So examine yourself to see what is between you and your Lord. What kind of excuses do we give when it comes to the thing of God, things of God, worship, Sunday school, Bible class, memory work, Bible living, or Bible reading? We fill our lives with so much. Are they really filled with the Lord and his word? Can you imagine someone coming into your house and starting moving your furniture? You'd get kind of upset, wouldn't you? Especially if it was a stranger, right? Jesus starts moving the furniture of the temple, and people begin to asking why. Shouldn't God get upset? If there isn't his furniture in our heart. You see, there is only room for one God in your temple. Whatever's in your heart will push everything else out. If it is not the true God, we'll push him out. But God will not allow it, and we can't avoid it. So what are we going to do? And that's where we get it wrong. Our Lord turns the wisdom of the world upside down. It's not what we are going to do, but what he is going to do, what he has done and is doing. When we look at the commandments, we normally look at the Ten Commandments, right? The list there, and the first one, you shall have no other gods before me. But what is God's first word? Turn to the back of the bulletin. How do the commandments start? I, the Lord your God, right? Should we read that together? Right after, and God spoke all these words together. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. I'm the God that goes ahead and brings you out of the slavery of your life. You're Egypt's. Our God is first and foremost our deliverer, our redeemer, the one who rescues. People of God, by our own sinful nature, we are trapped in slavery, and most do not even know it. Those of you who struggle with addictions, though, understand this very well. An addiction is a slavery that you work so hard to get away from. It wants to have us. It wants to possess us, to swallow us up even in death, asking for sacrifices of well-being, of spouse, of family, of finances. And if we keep submitting, we know it will kill us. But our Lord has greater aspirations for us, for all people. Just as he rescued the children of Israel from the house of slavery, so you also, by the waters of baptism, have been rescued from death, from the devil, and the power of your own sinful nature. For his promises are true. More than that, his word is true. What he says will happen. And even when we struggle to believe that these are true, he sends his Holy Spirit into our lives to once again fill our lives with confidence, confidence in his very work. He raised his temple from destruction, his very own body from the dead. He certainly can raise yours. Remember Caiaphas, the high priest, what he said in John chapter 11? If we let Jesus go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. Caiaphas knew what Jesus was doing. Jesus had confronted his false god, a position and place. When one doesn't fully believe in Jesus, you got to get rid of him. And that's what they did. When they cast him out of the city, out of the heart of the city, and they nailed him to the cross. But the Lord's word is true, and nothing can change it. For in 3 days, yes, you know, he rose from the dead. God is in his true temple. The temple in Jerusalem will never again be rebuilt. But if it would be, what is it? But a hollow reminder. Without God, a false idol. God's true temple is his Son, Jesus Christ. In him God dwells. There is no other place in heaven or on earth for us to be in the presence of God, only with Jesus. And we will confess, I believe in the resurrection of the dead. Not just for believers, but for all. It'll be true for every human being. For Daniel chapter 12 testifies, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. The good and the bad will be raised. That's the power of God's word. But will it be good for you and for me? In Jesus, that is true. The answer is yes. For those who believe and are baptized are to be declared God's holy temple. The time is coming that all of our struggles with the idols and false gods and temptations and addictions will end. Because of Jesus, we know what will happen when he comes again. For we will be like him, raised to eternal life. And he gathers us all together in his holy temple. His church. Jesus said, I will raise this temple. And he does it by his gracious word. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.